Now, hearing Anne's bit earlier, I was a bit concerned. I don't think that that note should be rinsed off before you give it to Luke, because, of course, as a church, we don't agree with money laundering. Right, you don't have to. You are welcome to grab a copy of the Bible. You might have heard this story once or twice already over Christmas. It's on page 914. I'm going to read the story of the Magi from Matthew chapter 2. So the first 15 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their gifts and opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." One of the reasons I asked for that video to be shown right at the top, the one of Christmas in Islington, was that when I saw it, it really sort of made for me the reality. You guys feel so far away over there. Was it made for me? There's the reality of this. I said this, you know, my talk Christmas Day last year, so I really don't want to repeat myself too much. But sometimes so much Christmas, you know, the Christmas cards, the thing, the unreality of the real Christmas story gets mixed up. Let's remember, this is a real story. Jesus had an amazing birth night. His birth was heralded by angels. A whole choir, I was going to say cacophony, I'm sure it wasn't a cacophony. A choir of them heralding the birth of Jesus. The shepherds ran down to see the baby laying in the manger. And then what happened next? Well, immediately, for the next few months, it seemed not a lot. It's, from what we infer, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, or Jesus led by Mary and Joseph, they seemed to find a room in Bethlehem. It seems they were making a life there. It's anything up to 2 years before the Magi turned up. Magi, traditionally we call them the wise men. We sing "We Three Kings." Three kings wrong on virtually both levels. No, probably more than three, might have been less than three. Certainly they weren't kings. But what do we know about them? We know they came from the east. There's a real good chance they came from Persia, which is in present-day Iran. And Magi isn't a term we use quite a lot these days. But Magi means it's kind of a Zoroastrian priest. Zoroastrian, a religion of the Persians. You weren't expecting to learn this today, were you? We don't know. They may well could have been Zoroastrian priests. Fair chance they came from Persia. Tradition says there were three of them. Do you know what tradition says their names were? Casper. Thank you. Casper, do you know their names? Yes, one of them was Casper. Do you know the other two? Melchior and Balthazar. They probably weren't them, but yes, that's what tradition calls them. There's nothing whatsoever in the Bible that says that. So what do we know? We know they followed a star that led them to the Holy Land, to eventually to Bethlehem. And we know that they knew that Jesus was special. Because when they heard King of the Jews, they were going there to worship him. Not simply to turn up and say, "Oh wow, King's been born, this is fantastic." They went there to worship him. They knew the King of the Jews was special. And they first went to the logical place that you'd expect to find a king. They went to the palace. But as we know from the story, the king of the Jews wasn't there. He was living in a two-bit town, 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem. And so they turned up and they gave gifts that would have appeared normal and logical if you're actually giving them to a king in a palace, but look completely weird and out of context when you're handing them to migrant parents in a room, probably rented accommodation, to their 1.5 or whatever age toddler running around the room. And then we know they listened to God because they had a dream that told them not to go back to Herod, but to return east by another route. So what's the point of the story? Why do we think they visited? Well, I think one of the main reasons is that these guys weren't Jews. These guys were Gentiles. They were not Jewish people. And they were going, even though they were going to see the King of the Jews, it means that we know that this King of the Jews is for everyone. Some guys, once again, we don't know exactly where they come from, but what we do know is they weren't Jews, and yet they were going to worship him. And that ties in with the sermon series which had recently on Acts, when we saw how 40 years from this point, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died to save people, went beyond the Jewish people. But it already had gone, because these people had come there. This King of the Jews was the Lord of non-Jews too. And I think also, maybe it is coincidence, maybe it isn't, that the two lots of visitors that we hear about are a real mix of society. We've got the local working class shepherds and the rich, wealthy, out-of-town magi. Again, it shows us that Emmanuel, God with us, is for all of us. Now, like any decent guest, they turned up with presents. Can you tell someone's character from the presents that they get? I think, you know, once you're a child of a certain age into an adult, I think you probably can. But for the gifts you give a one-year-old, can you actually tell how their character will turn out from that? That question was not rhetorical. Can you turn out how their character will turn out from a one-year-old? Thank you for shaking your head there, Vicky. Who had one of these? Any other child of the 70s that had a Tonka car? Yeah? Tonka cars were brilliant. This is 37 years old and it is still going strong. It has been played with quite a lot by three generations of Bolland's men. It's played with by me when I was 1.5. Played with by my nephew when he was 1.5. Played with by my dad when he was 40.5. I got this when I was 1. I also got Weebles. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. When I was 2 years old, my mum doesn't really like this story. When I was 2 years old, we were in a church meeting, and I was sitting playing with my Weebles, and one of the late women in the church, senior women, was talking, and I was upset that I wasn't being listened to, and I had a Weeble in my hand, and I went, and it turns out my mum could have been goalkeeper for England because she dived across the room and caught this Weeble just before it was going to hit the 80-year-old woman. And the other thing I had when I was a kid, Fisher-Price. You get Fisher-Price, like I had the airport. Anyone had the airport? I wanted to bring to it. The car park on the different stories. Is it still going? They're great toys. Could you tell my character from these toys? No. Well, yeah. Not the violence that went with it. No, my point being, you couldn't. I'm not a particularly good driver, as my father-in-law will attest. And I certainly don't have a nice, beautiful red racing car like this. I've never flown a plane with my Fisher-Price thing. And I wobble, but I do sadly fall down. My point here is this: you can see something of Jesus' life, work, and mission in the gifts that he was given. He was given gold, which is gold. This ain't audience participation, John. All right, go on then. What did he get? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense is incense. It's smelly stuff that priests used in temples. Wave it around. Smelt nice. It's for priests, not really commonly gifts given to a one-year-old migrant boy in Bethlehem. And myrrh. Myrrh was something that you put on dead people to embalm them. It was a rub for the dead, a nice smelling balm. Once again, not the kind of thing that you would normally associate being given to a one-year-old migrant boy. So he was born in a manger, and yet he received kingly gold. He was the son of a carpenter. He became a carpenter himself, and yet he received the priestly incense. And despite his meagre surroundings, Jesus was a relatively, seemingly healthy boy. He certainly made it to 30 pretty well. And yet he received an embalming myrrh for the dead. What did Mary and Joseph do with these gifts? We have absolutely no idea. No whatsoever. They may have been spent on to get them to Egypt and back. We don't know. But we do know from what it said in a verse in Luke, talking about when the shepherds visited, that Mary stored up all of the experiences. She pondered them in her heart. We can see Jesus' destiny in these gifts. A king, a priest born to die. Almost reminds me a bit of Through the Keyhole. Did I forget that? With, what's his name? Who? Yeah, no, who's the bloke? Who's the nosy one? Lloyd Grossman, yeah. So you just go around sort of point out three or four things to actually give you some kind of clue. Do you ever used to watch that? No? Yeah, thank you. Gives you three or four clues to actually try and work out whose house you were in. And you almost like a bit here. You see the gifts. Can you piece the character together? A king, a priest, born to die. Someone told me that every Christmas sermon should finish at Easter. I don't think that means that I should go on for 3 months. But every Christmas sermon should finish at Easter. And this talk doesn't, but we do go past Easter, the Easter story. Because if we leap forwards 30 plus years, we see Jesus executed on a cross, born to die. He chose to die. He'd been telling people, his disciples, who really, really didn't get the point, that when Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to be executed," they thought he was talking somehow metaphorically. No, Jesus went to die. And he died as a priest, for the frankincense. He died as a priest. He died as that, the figure, all God and all man, to unite God and man through his death. He died. But what happened next? He didn't stay dead for long. Now, in churches all around the world, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, we have two main, if we asked a kid, an adult, to draw Jesus, I think that chances are they'd draw one of two pictures. Certainly at this time of year, you'd get a baby in a manger. And the other one you'd probably get is a crucifix, Christ on the cross. Jesus was in a manger for one night of his life. Jesus was on the cross for 3 or 4 hours. One of my other bugbears is that I don't think we focus enough on another image of Christ that we're given. The image of Christ that we're going to see for the rest of eternity. It's in the last book in the Bible, in Revelation. And I'm going to read it from a different translation. You're welcome to turn to Revelation if you want, but I'm going to read some verses from Revelation chapter 1. And I'd suggest, if you're not going to turn to it, close your eyes. If you are, I'm going to read from verse 9. "I, John, am your brother and partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day and I was worshipping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave.'" Let's see how the story ends. The baby that was given, or the young boy that was given a gift of gold, becomes the eternal king. They were expecting, but not really what they were expecting. They certainly turned up to worship something. They knew that Jesus was special, that the king of the Jews was special. Were they expecting someone who's actually going to reign as king for all eternity? For this Christmas, for the rest of the year, remember Jesus as he is, not as he was. Cheers.